We started talking this morning about ethics. Being ethical. If there is an example of business ethics, I think Daniel is the man. In Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against David with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.'" When it comes to Daniel and his work as a counselor and an advisor to the king, they could not find anything that he actively did that was violating God's will or turning away from serving the king properly. They couldn't find anything like that. Not only could they not find something that he was actively doing that was unethical, they also couldn't even find something that he was omitting. They couldn't find some neglect. Daniel was a man that made sure that he was accomplishing the work that he was given, that he was doing his job. And of course, because of that, he was advancing high above them, and that made the folks around him a little bit jealous. I find it interesting that they did know about Daniel this one thing, that the only way they would be able to find something against him was if they made a law against his God. They did know that in his ethics, he would never disobey his God. Because for Daniel, his boss was not the king, his boss was the Lord. Now that's ethics. We started this morning by talking about the question, is it ethical? We as Christians are called to a standard of ethics. Not so God can just give us some rules and some hoops that we're supposed to jump through, but because this is the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who loves ethical behavior. And he wants to be in relationship with us. He is giving us this guideline because he wants to be our king. He wants to be our ruler. He wants to be our father. He wants to be in relationship with us. And he says, this is the kind of person. This is the kind of person who dwells on his holy hill. This is the kind of person who is in that kind of relationship with him. And so this morning we recognize the first three rules of ethics, the bottom line rule, seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. We know that those in the world often have a different bottom line about profits and power. We have a bottom line about Christ as king, serving him. The second rule that we recognize is what we often call the golden rule, treating others the way we want to be treated. Recognizing that on the job, no matter what our job is, our interaction with other people is in fact with other people. And we need to grant them significance and importance and treat them the way we want to be treated. And then thirdly, we talked about the honesty rule, which really, if you think about it, is an outgrowth of that second rule. We want people to be honest with us. We want to be honest with others. Putting falsehood away. We do what we say what we do, we speak the truth in all matters. These are the first three rules that we recognized about living an ethical life, whether at home, at school, in this building, and especially on the job. Tonight I want to share with you three other rules that we might have regarding ethical behavior. And hopefully these will help us as we strive to shine the light of God's glory on the job. As Andrew talked to us about a couple weeks ago, we spend fully a third of our lives on the job. And so we need to be spending our time shining our light, shaking out that salt. And we want to do that by demonstrating this kind of right behavior. Before we get into the last half of today's lesson, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father, you are awesome and powerful. You are the great God. You are our Redeemer, our Savior, our Judge, and our King. You are the Creator of all things, and so we know, Father, that you are holy. And we long to be holy as you are holy, because we long to be by your side and in your presence. We long for that for all eternity. We are looking forward to being with you, and we want you more than we want anything else. We want you more than we want the praises of men. We want you more than we want power in this world. We want you more than we want profits. We want you more than we want a big bank statement. We want you more than we want a great retirement. We want you more than we want anything else. And Father, because of that, we want to live as your Son has lived. We want to do that not only in this building and when we are with our brothers and sisters. We want to do that when with our families. We want to do that when we're with our classmates at school. We want to do that when we're with our coworkers on the job. We long to shine your light so that people will look at us and see you and bring glory to you, because you are the great Father, worthy of praise and adoration. Help us to live as your Son did. Help us to be examples of ethical behavior as Daniel was. Help us to shine your light to the world around us. Father, we do love you. We love you so much. And we thank you for loving us first. It's through your Son who has saved us and given us this example of proper behavior that we pray tonight. In his name, amen. So we recognize the bottom line rule, the golden rule, the honesty rule. I want to talk to you about the extra mile rule. It's ethical when we are going the extra mile. This is that standard that is above what the world would expect. But God has a higher standard for us. And when we ask the question, is it ethical? We need to think about, am I going the extra mile or am I just doing just enough? We find this rule presented in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. Jesus said, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, if I understand this properly, this statement comes from the idea that the Jewish nation was an enslaved nation. They were enslaved to the Roman Empire. And the Romans demanded a certain right. And that right was that if a Roman told someone who was in one of their enslaved nations to carry a burden for them, they were required to carry it for at least 1 mile. They were required to carry it for up to 1 mile. And what Jesus says, and you can imagine how the enslaved nation of Israelites would resent such a rule and such a requirement. But what Jesus says is, an ethical behavior for his people, for his kingdom, is to go the extra mile. If they require you to carry it 1 mile, you carry it 2. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, we see this same idea worded in a different way. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. On your job, you need to be working with all your might, going the extra mile, not just doing what's good enough. Not just doing what's enough to get by, but going the extra mile, giving your best, doing everything you can possibly do on your job. Whether it's because you are the owner of the business or because you are an employer or an employee, whether it's regarding your relationship with other coworkers, go the extra mile. Put that cherry on top. Do your best. Do beyond what is expected. That's when it's ethical for us. Why would we do this? Well, I think in Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, we see a good reason why we would do this. And as we've said in previous lessons, I know that modern day employment is not an exact parallel to this ancient society slavery. But there is a principle here that I think can apply across the board in our relationships when it comes to work. As he talks to the bondservants, he says, obey your earthly masters in Ephesians 6, 5 with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is bondservant or is free. When we're doing our work, we want to do our dead level best. We want to go the extra mile. We want to go beyond what is expected. And the reason we want to do that is because we aren't working for these people who are paying us. We're working for God. We're not doing this job to bring glory to ourselves. We're doing this job to bring glory to God. We're not doing this job so that our employers can have a great reputation, but so God can have a great reputation. And so for us, it is ethical when we are going the extra mile. But that's no way to conduct a business, we cry. we'll get in. There's no way that's going to help us. Look, we're trying to minimize effort so we can maximize profits. We've got to cut corners, otherwise we'll go over budget. Well, this might be a good plan if everybody were going to do it, but Edwin, our competition won't necessarily go the extra mile, and so they'll always be able to undercut us. Well, what we need to remember is that we're not working for this person who has hired us. We're working for God, and we want to bring Him glory. And so it's ethical for us when we're going the extra mile. And yes, I do understand that the extra mile is never crowded. I do understand that few people are walking on the path of the extra mile. But those who want to bring glory to God, they walk the extra mile. Is it ethical? Then we're going to be doing our best. We're going to be doing beyond what is expected. We're not going to be satisfied with merely good enough. We're going to be walking on the extra mile. The fifth rule that we recognize is what I want to call very simply the time management rule. We need to manage our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul wrote, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." He's actually referring back, I believe, to a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 12. When he says that we want to make the best use of our time because the days are evil, I think he's looking back to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 12, where the preacher wrote, "For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." He says here, we want to make the best use of our time because the days are evil. We have no idea what's going to happen next. We have no idea that we're going to be able to work tomorrow. We have no idea that we're going to be able to accomplish anything beyond today. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that today counts. We need to make sure that today matters, because this is the only day we have. We are not promised tomorrow. When we consider this idea of managing our time, certainly it applies to what we do as Christians within this church, within our neighborhoods and our communities. Surely it applies in our homes and among our families and the way we conduct ourselves there. But most definitely it should apply with how we conduct ourselves on the job. For all you know, today is the last day that you have to shine the light of the Lord into your workplace. For all you know, that what you do on your project today, how you conduct yourself today, how you do that auction today. Steve Linder told me this morning, I need to quit talking about just salespeople. I need to talk about auctioneers too. He said they needed the gospel just as much as everybody else. And I said, amen. So whatever it is that you're doing today, this may be the last day you have to shine the light of the Lord in that place. And so make the best use of your time. And this idea of time management applies in how we conduct ourselves on the job. Please understand, your employer is not paying you to play solitaire. He's not paying you, or she's not paying you, to surf Facebook, unless you're the social media rep. They're not paying you to play words with friends, if anybody besides me is still doing that. That's not what they're paying you to do. They're not paying you to pad your break or take an extra long lunch hour. They're paying you to work. But I know what we will say. Well, I am managing my time commensurate with the amount that they are paying me. If they paid me more, I would work more. But if they're only going to pay me this, this is all I'm going to do. Well, here's what I would like to remind you. You're not working for them. You're working for the Lord. And because you're working for the Lord, the way you conduct your time reflects upon Him. Shine your light on the job by making the best use of your time. Certainly, we all need time to rest. And when it's time to rest, rest. But when it's time to work, work. That's the time management rule. But that's no way to conduct a business, we cry. Actually, with this rule, we never cry that. With this rule, we know, yep, that's how you conduct a business. You got to have effective time management. The problem is not that we don't understand this rule. The problem is that in the moments when we're choosing between working hard Being lazy is just so attractive. Oh, it's just so much easier to put off that work. It's so much easier to procrastinate. It's so much easier to say, I'm going to get to that tomorrow. Let's not do that. Let's manage our time. Let's follow this rule. That's what's ethical. Borrowing from tomorrow eventually makes us bankrupt on time. The more we put off till tomorrow, we're going to find ourselves in trouble when we finally get there. The time management rule. And the final rule that we want to consider, is it ethical? Not only do we want to consider the extra mile rule, not only do we want to talk about the time management rule, but I want to talk about the consistency rule. Being consistent as we are striving to be ethical. The thing that we need to understand is that when it comes to being ethical, this is not a sliding scale. Have you ever taken those surveys? How would you describe yourself? 5 means you're always this. 3 means you're kind of this. 1 means you're never this. Ethics is not a sliding scale. We're not filling out a survey. Would you describe yourself as ethical? 5, I'm always ethical. 4, I'm usually ethical. 3, I'm somewhat ethical. 2, well, some of the time I'm ethical. 1, a little bit I'm ethical. 0, I'm never ethical. It doesn't work like that. The fact is, if you're ethical at home, that's great. If you're ethical at church, that's great. But if you're not ethical on the job, guess what? You're not ethical. You don't get to say, well, in most of my life, in 2/3 of my life, I'm an ethical person. If you're not ethical on the job, what you have just demonstrated is you're not ethical. Because either we're ethical or we're not ethical. I think a passage that demonstrates that is James chapter 3 and verse 17, especially this last word that it has here. It says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Your translation there may say, without hypocrisy. In other words, what they're saying is, what you see is what you get. The same everywhere. There's not one person on the job and one person at church and another person at home. This is the same person. Every place they go, what you see is what you get. They are sincere and they are without hypocrisy. This is a person who is ethical, and he is ethical consistently wherever he is, whoever he is with. It's easy to be ethical in this room, isn't it? We're around a bunch of people that demand that we be ethical. We put on the face of ethical holiness. But tomorrow we're going to be on the job. We're going to be with different people. We're going to have different pressures. Will we be ethical there? The sincere person, yes. The person without hypocrisy doesn't come to church and declare ethics and then go on the job and cheat his customers. The sincere without hypocrisy person does not come to church and proclaim, yes, I want to be like Jesus, and then go to the job and try to pad the numbers. If you're ethical, you're ethical everywhere. Otherwise, you're just not ethical. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be like Jesus at all times. We need to carry our ethics and our right behavior with us everywhere we go. James 3:17 says that we do this without hypocrisy. What you see is what you get. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, the scripture there explains that we need to shine our light in the same way. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Certainly it is a good work for us to gather here. Certainly there are a whole lot of people today that aren't gathering with the children of God to worship and praise and honor and glorify Him. And it's good that they get to see that we go to church. But what they need to see is that we are the church. And they see that based on how we work on our jobs and how we relate in our homes and how we interact in our neighborhoods. We're going to be ethical. We need to be ethical everywhere. The rule of consistency. But that's no way to run a business, we cry. That's great for church. But we can't get ahead while following all these rules on the job. If everybody else were to follow Edwin, that'd be great. But there's a whole lot of people out there that lie, that cheat and steal. And they'll beat us. They'll overcome us. They'll shut our businesses down. Well, that may be. That may be exactly what happens. But we need to remember, if we're not walking with Jesus everywhere, we're not walking with Jesus. If we're not walking with Jesus everywhere, we're not walking with Jesus. And the reason why we need to understand these rules is not because God is the rule maker and I've got to check these things off. One of the things I try to share with my kids all the time is really all I want for you is to be best friends with Jesus. Be best friends with Jesus. But we need to understand that Jesus has healthy boundaries. See, the problem is that for us, we are so surrounded by dysfunction and unhealthy boundaries that it's surprising to us to find out about anyone who actually has healthy boundaries, who says, this is what I can be around, and I can't be around all that other stuff. You see, what Jesus says is, I can't be around dishonesty. I can't be around just half-hearted. I can't be around just good enough. Jesus is friends with people who follow these principles. Because that's what Jesus is doing. These are the principles Jesus followed. Aren't you glad he made the best use of his time? Aren't you glad that he walked that extra mile up Calvary's road, carrying that burden that we put on him? And aren't you glad that that's who Jesus was just all the time? That's who he is, and that's who he hangs out with. And he wants to make us like him. That's why these principles we've talked about today are important. Not because they'll make you money, but because they make you like Jesus. And those are the people Jesus hangs out with. Is it ethical? That's the question that we need to be asking. God wants to transform us to be like his son. These are some questions we should be asking, some principles we should be following to be renewed in our minds and our hearts and our spirit, to be like our Savior, our Lord, our King. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to, you can put your notes away at this time. If you want to, feel free to pull out a songbook. Adam's going to lead us in some more song worship here in just a moment. What we call an invitation song at this part of our assembly. The words will be on the screen behind me, though, if you want to follow along there. Is it ethical? Am I behaving the way I'm supposed to be behaving? In this room, with my family, with my classmates, on the job? These are the questions that we need to be asking. And it may be that when we follow this ethical course that God has laid out for us, that we lose our business. It may be that when we follow this ethical course that God has laid out for us, that we don't get ahead and we don't get the promotion because somebody else cheated and lied and stole and took our place. And it may be that when we follow God's will in our ethical behavior, that we end up out on the street, under the bridge. I don't think that's going to happen normally, but hey, that may be what happens. But as we wrap up and you think about that, I'd like you to think about a fellow who lived out on the street. His name was Lazarus. Do you remember the story that Jesus told of Lazarus and the rich man? Here was the rich man, it seems, who did not make his riches by ethical behavior. Lazarus out on the street, but apparently in a right relationship with God. And when those two men died, it says that the angels carried Lazarus to the bosom of comfort of Abraham. And the rich man just died and went into torment. And it may be that if you follow these principles of ethics, that you spend a few years like Lazarus. But it definitely will be that if you follow these rules of ethics, if you live like Jesus and you turn to Jesus, that you'll spend an eternity like Lazarus. And do you remember what that rich man said as he was there in torment? Not only did he ask, please send Lazarus over here that he can dip his finger in some water and touch my tongue so that I can have a little bit of comfort because I'm in agony in this flame. When Abraham said to him, that's not possible, the rich man then said, well, please send Lazarus back to my brothers because I don't want them to show up here. Please understand, all those great businessmen who made their riches by cheating and lying and stealing, all those who have gone on, I promise you right now, they're wishing that some dead person could come back and warn us to not go where they're going. They don't want us there. They want to rescue us from that. And here's the amazing thing. Do you realize that God has in fact granted their request? Because there was one man who did come back from the dead. And he came back from the dead to warn us. And he came back from the dead to lead us. And he came back from the dead to save us. Like Lazarus, he had no place to lay his head. Like Lazarus, he lived off of the support of other people. And he ended up being nailed to a cross. And he died for our sins. But on the third day, he rose again so that he could lead us, so that he could be our king. Isn't that amazing that we can be best friends with the king? Isn't that awesome? But he didn't set us free so that we could just continue being like the world. He set us free so he could transform us. Transform us into people like him. Do you want that transformation? Do you want to be like Christ? We want to help you with that. Jesus said very simply, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Do you believe in King Jesus? Are you ready to be immersed in water? That's what baptism is. So that you can be raised to walk in a new life like Jesus? We want to help you with that. We're going to sing a song here in just a second. And while we're singing that song, we call it a song of invitation because we're inviting you to come down to the front so that we can talk to you about the gospel and we can baptize you into Jesus Christ tonight. Do you need to get in Christ? Do you need to be saved? We want to give you that opportunity tonight. We invite you to come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.
I have decided.